Amen. We serve a good God. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Windfall of God's Blessings. That's the title of our sermon this morning. Windfall of God's Blessings. Genesis chapter 41. Verses 40 reads, of Genesis chapter 41, verse 40 reads, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we have been reminded that you are a good God, and we rejoice in that fact this morning. And we pray that you will encourage us with this biblical truth concerning your goodness to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, for Joseph, after 13 years of testing, he is now 30 years of age. He was sold into slavery at the age of 17. Now he's 30 years of age, according to verse number 46. And Joseph was 30 years old. After 13 years of testing, Joseph graduates from the School of Hard Knocks. He graduates with honours. Honours A++. The hand of God has been on his life, and this has been evident more so in the latter chapters of Joseph's life. Now, in our last Bible study, we noted that God is always at work, even though we cannot see it. Even when nothing seems to be happening, God is still at work. When the timing doesn't seem to be right, God is at work. God still works in the hearts of others. God is still working in the hearts of individuals for his purpose. God exalts one, God abases one. God is always at work, even though we cannot see it. That was evident the other week with the election results. We thank God for the election results. This current government is a little bit more sympathetic to our values as Christians. And we believe without doubt that God has answered our prayers. And with a Christian Prime Minister, I trust and pray. And with this government, which is in theory a little bit more sympathetic to biblical Christianity, just a little bit more sympathetic to biblical Christianity, it might equate to greater liberty and freedom for you and I as Bible-believing Christians. God is always at work, though we cannot see it with our naked eye. Even though things don't seem to be happening, even though the timing doesn't seem to be right, let me encourage you, God is still at work. And that's evident in the life of Joseph. And we have here in chapter 41 onwards what I call a windfall of blessings upon the life of Joseph. Let's note how God blesses him. And what is the ultimate purpose in these blessings? See, from time to time, God will, if we are faithful to him, will pour out a blessing or blessings upon each of our lives. To what end is the question? Well, let's see. Let's answer that question from the life of Joseph this morning. We note that part of this windfall of blessing upon the life of Joseph was in the form of influence. Influence. Note then verses 40 and 41. That Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Thou shalt be over my house. And then we read on in verse number 41, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Let's read on in verses 42 to 44. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. A windfall of God's blessings upon the life of Joseph was first and foremost in the form of influence. Joseph is made second in charge within the Egyptian empire. I think Joseph would have been happy to just be out of prison. I don't think he ever dreamed of being promoted to this position. Yes, he did dream that his brothers would bow down to him and that the sun, moon and stars would bow down to him. But in all of that, I don't imagine that he ever dreamed of becoming second in charge over the Egyptian empire. See, Ephesians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21 teach us that God is able to do above and beyond that which we ask or think. We serve a good God. Even though we cannot see the workings of God at times, God is always at work. Though nothing seems to be happening, though the timing doesn't seem to be right, God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. God gives Joseph influence, second in charge to Pharaoh himself. The mandate was given. You are to bow the knee to Joseph. Wow! What influence had this man? What opportunity of influence has God given to you? Do you see it? Do you see that comes from God? Influence in the home, as a husband, a father, a mother, a wife, amongst your siblings, in the church, in the workplace, at your school, with an ability, with a skill, with a profession that you might have. All of us have God-given influence that ought to be used for the glory of God. And you and I need to see it as a blessing. Do you see that God has given you and I this position of influence for a purpose? The windfall of blessings fell upon Joseph. He is made second in charge within the Egyptian empire. And my friend, for you and I this morning, the application is that God has given me an opportunity to influence for God's glory. And God is very purposeful. God does not give you the opportunity to influence just for the sake of it. There is a purpose in mind. And you and I need to work out what is that purpose and fulfill it to the best of our ability for the glory of God. Nehemiah exercised that privilege as the king's cupbearer. Because he was the king's cupbearer, he had influence. He could share the needs of his people and ultimately go back and lead God's people in the rebuilding of their city wall. Influence. What opportunity for influence has God given to you? Think about that. Also, the Bible teaches us that Joseph is not only given a position of great influence, but also he is given a new name. Note then verse 45, please. Genesis 41, verse 45, the first part of that verse, it reads, "And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah." What a name. Pharaoh, the Egyptian, gives Joseph an Egyptian name. He has a Jewish name, Joseph. And Pharaoh changes his name and gives him an Egyptian name. And to this day, commentators are not certain as to exactly what it means because of its Egyptian origin. Some believe it means a revealer of secrets. Others believe that it means a sustainer of life. Either interpretation fits. My friend, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a new name. Do you realize that? In 1 John 3, 1 it reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." In Acts 11:26, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Why did they call them Christians? Why did the unbelieving world call that group of people that followed Jesus Christ Christians? Let me tell you why. Because they were like little Christ. They followed Christ. They imitated Christ. And they called them Christians, little Christ, little imitators of Christ. Are you an imitator of Jesus Christ? Could you be called a Christian in the true sense of the word? It's one thing to be a disciple, it's another thing to be a Christian. When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we become a follower of Christ. But when we live like a follower of Christ, then we earn the right to be called a Christian. What's your name? What is your name? See, in the biblical setting, names were meaningful. They were purposeful. In our day, predominantly, names are just given because, well, what's popular today? We Google, "What shall I call my baby?" Suggestions, please. But that's not what it was like in the biblical setting. There was thought given as to what will I call this gift of God. And when Pharaoh changed Joseph's name, he didn't just pull a name out of the air and say, "Take this, son. This'll do ya. It's complicated, sounds royal." No, he gave it some thought. There was some background to that name. And my friend, there ought to be background to your life. There ought to be some background to my life as a Bible-believing Christian. Yes, there ought to be. They were first called Christians in Antioch because they lived, they breathed, they smelt like Bible-believing Christians. Amen. New name. God changed the name of Jacob's supplanter to Israel to convey a work of grace in Jacob's life. What is your name? Are you living up to the name that God has given to you as a son of God, as a child of God, as a Christian? So God gives Joseph influence. God gives him a new name. But also note there in verse 45 that God gives him a wife. Amen. It is good for a man not to be alone. And all of the men said, amen. And all of the men said, amen. A woman. Yes. Let me try it one more time. All of the men said, a woman. Amen. Good. Look at verse 45. Pharaoh not only gave Joseph an Egyptian name, but also the Bible teaches us in verse 45 that he gave him a wife. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. A wife. The windfall of God's blessings upon Joseph. God gives him influence. He's given a new name to reflect his purpose, his benefit. Revealer of secrets, sustainer of life. But God also gives him a wife via the hand of Pharaoh. God is in control. The daughter of a very influential individual. Question, do you think Joseph was actively searching for a wife? Yes or no? I doubt it. I don't think he had time. I don't think Joseph was actively searching for a wife. I don't think Joseph was obsessed with getting married and having lots of little Josephs. I just don't think that was what was on Joseph's mind. I just simply believe that Joseph tried to simply honor God, serve him, be a good testimony, bear witness of God's grace as the opportunities arose. But God in his providence provides a wife for Joseph. I don't read that Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, please, I need a wife. I am 30 years of age. I've had a rough trot for the last 13 years. May I have a wife? Now, he could have said that, and he could have had a dime a dozen of them. But providentially, Pharaoh gives Joseph a wife. My friend, God knows what we need. Yes, he does. And the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, listen carefully. Actually, let's look it up. Quickly, Matthew 6:8. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8. Our Lord said, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. God knows what we need before ye ask him. God knows what we need. Now go to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God knew that Joseph needed a wife to complete him. He's been living as a bachelor literally for 13 years. In order to preserve and propagate his seed by having children, God knew that he needed a wife. And God, in his fullness of time, provided a wife for him. And let's read on. Go back to Genesis chapter 41, please. Look at verse 50 to 52. God not only provides Joseph with a wife, verse 50 reads, and unto Joseph were born two sons. Before the years of famine began, so 5 years into his leadership, he has two sons. Look at verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. So Manasseh means to forget. So Joseph said, I've been able to put behind the hardship that I've had. And then look at verse 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. The word Ephraim means to be fruitful. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So God gives Joseph, listen to me, God gives Joseph a wife. And beyond a wife, God gives him two sons. Now in the biblical setting, to have a son was the grand prize. To have a son first and foremost is the grandest of prize. Yes, that's just how it was. To have a firstborn son. But he not only had one son, he had how many sons? Two sons. So he won the grandest, grandest of grandest prizes. God blessed Joseph. So he said, I'm going to call one of my sons Manasseh, that is, God has enabled me, God has given me the grace to forgive and forget the hardship I've had, and God has caused me to be fruitful. I'm going to call my second son Ephraim. So in my afflictions, God has enabled me to be fruitful. God blessed him with a double blessing. Two sons. In John 16:21, the Bible reads, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow. I thank God that God made me a man. Amen. That I don't have to bear new life. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered, or she delivers a child, note the next portion of the verse, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy a man is born into the world. So from that sorrow, through that pain of labor, God gives joy. And Joseph said, I'm going to call my first son Manasseh, because God has given me the grace to forgive and forget my anguish, my heartache, and God has caused me to be fruitful, Ephraim. And the point I want to make is this. Listen to me very carefully. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Young ladies, God knows that you need a man. Listen to me. Young men, God knows that you need a young lady. Don't get obsessed with it, but more so, get obsessed with serving God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Young ladies, if you spend all your time dreaming, breathing, that wedding day, pity you. I think you are better off spending, consuming your time serving God, honoring God, loving God, and God in His time will give you a helpmate. Amen, Pastor. Amen. But Pastor, I might get left behind. You won't get left behind. God knows what you have need of. And if you desire to be married and you walk with God, God will give you the desires of your heart. Just serve God. Concern yourself with serving God. That's what Joseph did. I don't read that he begged Pharaoh. I said, Pharaoh, I'm 30 years of age. I don't want to be an unusual bachelor for the rest of my life. Give me a woman, please. And it's true. Single men go a bit funny unmarried. Really? They can. They lose their orientation, their color coordination. They really do. Somehow everything just goes all funny. I get concerned for single, mature men. Every good man needs a good woman. And see, Joseph was concerned about serving God, and God provided him a wife, and God provided him children. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You focus, young people, listen to me good. You young adults, you listen to me well. You focus on loving God, doing His will, living within the boundaries of this book, and don't worry, God won't leave you behind. Amen. God was good to Joseph. God gave him influence. God gave him a new name. God gave him a wife and children. Boys! Oh, he was very excited. God also gave him a work to do. Look at the end of verse 45, please, back in Genesis 41. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Okay. So, Pastor, you mean I shouldn't be plotting and planning my future husband or wife? No. Just love the Lord, serve Him, and don't worry, He'll work it out, the light will come on. Don't worry. God knows what you have need of. And here in Genesis chapter 41, verse 45, the end of that verse, it reads, "And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt." Verse 46, "And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt." Look at verse 49. "And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number." So Joseph went out over all of the land of Egypt, fulfilling his responsibility in managing the great harvest that God had said would come. He understood the importance of gathering and storing properly all of this wheat for the years of famine to come. Joseph didn't waste time, didn't waste resources. Joseph was very diligent. He was very diligent with his responsibilities. He lived out what wisdom is evident within the ant, as Proverbs chapter 6 reads. The ant during the summer months will gather resources for winter to come. will prepare and plan ahead. And Joseph said, I've got 7 good years to work with. And verse number 45 teaches us that Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. He got going. He was diligent. He was entrusted with a job to do, and he was determined to do it with all of his might. My friend, are we diligent in the work that God has given to us? Whether it be parenting, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in our studies, we need diligence. Joseph proved by his work ethics that he believed God. He believed what God had revealed to Pharaoh. There will be 7 good years and then years of great famine. He proved that he believed that by being diligent within the 7 years. And he traveled all over Egypt making sure that this harvest, this great harvest, was maximized, was properly harvested and stored appropriately for the days of difficulty to come. He was entrusted with a job to do. That's a blessing. It's good to have something to do, is it not? Idleness will send you mad. Yes, it will. It's good to work. It's good to be diligent. And God has given all of us a job to do, has he not? And God wants us to do that job with all of our might. The Lord Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And Joseph wasted no time. Joseph was not lazy. He had a job to do. And he believed that it was given by God. And he fulfilled it with all of his might. What job has God given you to do? Are we diligent in fulfilling that job? Well, the Bible goes on to read. Look at verse 53, please. I'm almost done. Verse 53. 57. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according to Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, and in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith unto you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so sore, so vast in all lands. The 7 years of plenty have ended. And now we are in the years of famine. Word gets around there is food in Egypt. Pharaoh directs people to Joseph during this time. And it wasn't long before the whole known world was in famine. And at that time, Joseph opened up the storehouses and began to sell off food to those in Egypt and abroad. And it wasn't long before people were coming from all over the known world to Egypt in order to buy bread. Jacob hears there's food in Egypt. So chapter 42, verses 1 to 6, he sends his sons to buy food and bring it back. He sends 10 of his sons, minus Benjamin, baby Benjamin. Stays behind with dad, but he sends the 10. I hear there is food in Egypt. Go and buy some and bring it back, please. Joseph became the source of life. People could come to him and buy food. Joseph was a savior of life in the physical sense. He had what could and would keep people alive physically. My friend, Jesus Christ is our spiritual life source. He has come into the world to grant life eternal to all that will believe. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. People had to pay for food from Joseph. But my friend, Jesus Christ has paid in full for our sins. And he offers life eternal. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the only hope of eternal life. It is only in Christ we can be saved from sin, death, and hell. He is the Savior of the world. My friend, will you humble yourself and admit that you are in need of spiritual sustenance, and will you come to Jesus Christ? Just like people went to Joseph to buy food, will you come to Christ and receive life everlasting? For the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. John 6:35, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. See, Joseph was a sustainer of life by providing physical food. My friend, Jesus Christ offers eternal life to all that will receive him by faith. And you and I, as God's people, listen to me, we are commissioned to make this living bread known. Just like Joseph held a very important position in providing food physically, you and I stand in the gap, and we are to provide spiritual food for those who need of a Savior. For Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. We believe in unlimited atonement. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed for the sins of the whole world, not just a select few. That's what the Bible teaches. God is not a God that is favors. His blood was shed so that forgiveness can be available for all mankind. There is plenty for all in Jesus Christ. And my friend, you and I, in Christ, we are called upon to be ambassadors for Christ, and we are to lead people to the Christ, because we are simply beggars that have found bread, and we need to lead other beggars to the source of that living bread, Jesus Christ. See, Joseph had influence. Joseph had a new name. God provided for Joseph abundantly a wife and some children. God provided Joseph a job to do. To what end? To what end this windfall of blessing? That Joseph might become the preserver of life. My friend, are you pointing people to Jesus Christ, the bread of life? This is our mandate. This is why he has bestowed his blessings upon us. We are simply beggars that have found the bread of life, and we need to be telling other beggars where to find this same bread. There is plenty in store for all. Joseph had no lack of resources. He could not keep up with the great harvest over those 7 years. In fact, there was so much, the Bible says, they lost count. And may I submit to you, my friend, that Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost and from the guttermost. And God has given every blood-bought child of God his blessing, and God has given us the opportunity to influence. God has given us a new name, Christian. God has provided our practical needs, and God has given us a job to do. And what is that job? We are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. When was the last time you and I witnessed, shared the gospel with somebody? That's what we're called to do. That's the purpose. God poured out his blessings upon Joseph. For what end? That he might be the means of life. Physical life. And God pours out his blessings upon you. God pours out his blessings upon me. That we might be the means of spiritual life. May God help us to pass that message on to others. Let's bow for prayer.